Welcome to the first of the Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Good morning, church. I'm not so sure that all of us are convinced by the words of that song that the choir just sang. The Bible teaches us that you have what you say. And so if you're not sure that it will be better, why don't you just start by saying it will get better. It will get better. That's the message of Jesus. That's the gospel message, the good news that there is a better for your family. It will get better. A better for your community. It will get better. Better for the health of your body, it will get better. Does anybody believe that there's better in the Lord and that that better can start even right now? If you have only the faith the size of a mustard seed, that you can move mountains. We thank the Lord, our Savior Jesus, who is still the Christ, and because he's still the Christ, it will get better for this morning, for this day. For this opportunity to be in his holy presence, I'm grateful to stand before you and share the message from the Lord this morning. So we won't tarry, we'll hear what the Lord has to say. Would you bow in prayer with me? Oh God, we thank you for the blessed assurance that you are ours. We thank you, Lord God, for the better, and the better that we don't even have to wait until we get to the other side to see, Lord God, but because we woke up this morning, it will get better. Because, Lord God, you've allowed us to come into your sanctuary, it will get better. And through the healing of your word, oh God, today we believe that even right now, after we leave here, our lives will be changed. So thank you for your word. Thank you for your preacher. Hide me, Lord God, so that these your people would see only you and hear only your voice. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who changes lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join me if you would. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and we'll be reading from the NIV beginning at verse 1. And it reads this way: In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were the seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Lord God, we thank you for your word. Now break it open, Lord God, so that we would get all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name and by your spirit, amen. Israel was a mess. Israel, God's chosen people, those who had been set apart by God to display God's faithfulness. Israel, the ones who were in special relationship with the only living God, those who were called to model righteousness. Israel was a mess. The people of God had experienced great trauma. They were now living under the authority of the enemy. They were now being governed by the Assyrians, and they had been taken over. They, Israel, God's chosen people, were now living in some ways apart from God. Not only had they been taken over by these Assyrians, but they were now living as these people. They had taken on the values of these people, the precepts, their gods. They had started to worship and practice as these people. And they had over time grown apart from their Jehovah. God's people had taken on the character of the world. And they even started making decisions as the world had. They had started to carve out their destiny based on the goals of what they'd seen in the world. They started to worship the world's gods, you know, the gods of greed, how much can we get and how fast. They started to worship their money. They started to worship pride. Human authority was now their god. Prestige and honor, who they were connected to, was now who they focused on. And in the midst of them being separated and dislocated and unsure about their future, God's people, Israel, had made for themselves the object of their trust, other people. Rather than believing what God would do, they were now trusting in their financial outlook. Was it black or was it red? They were focusing on their political connections. Who did they know in Assyria who could make it happen? This world had become a violent place, and things seemed to have been getting worse for this community of God's people. And somewhere along the way, in the midst of their struggle to survive, God's people had taken their future out of the master's hands and put their hopes only in what they could see and touch and what they could understand. Well, here's our first shout. In the midst of their separation, in the midst of the turmoil all around them, in the midst of them not knowing what would come next, God sent a prophet. He sent a prophet to remind them that Yahweh, our God, is forever and always with us. You see, no matter what's going on around us, God is still in control, and it will get better. So the prophet, this man Isaiah, is sent, and he's living in the midst of Judah. You know Judah, praise. But having been aware of all that's going on for these people of God, these chosen people, what is there to praise? What reason do we have to shout? Praise Judah. Well, Isaiah reminds them that there's still reason to praise, church. Even when the prophet comes to deliver a message of correction, there's still reason to praise. Even when the prophet comes to tell you to get your life together, there's still reason to praise. Even when the word comes to instruct us and to mold us and to break us and remake us, to convict us and to cut us, there is still and always reason to praise, because the word is that God is still with us. And in the presence of the Lord, there is always reason to praise. In the midst of the unknown, when you don't know what and you don't know how, you ought to know who, and that who is our God. And when he is present, there is still a reason to praise. This passage of scripture that we just read in the book of Isaiah, it's a record. It's a marker. It's a memory. It's recording these pivotal moments, not just for this man, this Isaiah, but also for these people of God, this Israel. This was a particular time in history, somewhere around 740 BC, and we know that because King Uzziah died. And the prophet takes the time to record his reflection on this very important moment, this experience that he has, this encounter with the living God. And he records it so that these, his people now and God's people to come, even us today, would have record of what God can and will do. It will get better. And if you're looking for the title of this message today, it's Will You Go? Will You Go? So this prophet Isaiah stands and he leaves witness to the people who are there, a testimony, a record of this own life of his experience. Is there anything that you will record on behalf of your church, on behalf of your own experience, maybe your children and grandchildren to come, to testify and witness to the experiences that you have with God? You ought to keep a record, church. I said we ought to write down these moments of transition and have a story that we can leave for those to come behind us to know that no matter what God takes you through, that God is ever present and there's a reason to praise. Speaking of markers in time, this past week we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. You may know that some time ago, 500 years ago, in 1517 in October, a monk named Martin Luther, a Christian man of faith, decided that he would start a revolution just by issuing and sitting down and meditating and thinking about the grievances that he had against the Catholic Church. And because he did that, a movement started, and out of that movement, our faith, our denominations are born, Baptists and Methodists. We are the product of that man sitting down on that time to write out his reflections and to think about what God could do for God's people. This past week, we also celebrated All Saints Day. You may be aware of that. On the 1st of November, we take the time to reflect on those that God has sent into our lives who have gone on to be with the Lord. And those are saints whose names we know and people whose names we'll never know, perhaps those who have impacted us in ways that we don't yet know. But these are times when God's people sit down and think about and remember those who have come before us. Well, you don't have to be Martin Luther and you don't have to be a saint that everybody knows, but every one of us has a story to tell. Every one of us has something that we ought to take the time to record about God's faithfulness and leave for those to come. And this is what the prophet Isaiah is doing. He's taking a moment of pause to record an experience with the Lord. And here is where we find Isaiah. Verses 1 through 8 record his experience, his supernatural experience with the Lord. Can you imagine? Isaiah said that he was in that day in the temple of the Lord. He was in a holy place. Where are you, church? Before you can write anything down about encounters that you have with the Lord, are you in a holy place where God can meet you? And that holy place doesn't have to be the church house. You see, the temple can be your mind. Is that a holy place? Is your body a consecrated and set apart place where the Lord can come in and show you something that you've never seen before? Isaiah said that he was in the temple of the Lord, a consecrated place, maybe your church, maybe your mind. And while he was in that physical space, he had a supernatural encounter with the Lord. You know, there are some things that you can't see with your physical eyes. But every time you come into the presence of the living God, whether it be here or in your prayer closet, in your bedroom or your bathroom, the Lord can come in and give you a supernatural encounter and reveal himself to you in ways that you've never encountered him before. And it was in that space that Isaiah met the Lord. How do you see the Lord? He said he saw him high and lifted up. Is your God high and lifted up? When you come into the sanctuary, do you expect to see the glory of the Lord? Or are you so weary with the burdens of the world that you can only see a very weak God? Isaiah saw him high and lifted up. He got a glimpse of the throne room of God, and all of his senses were activated. All of his body was incorporated in this experience. What do you mean, preacher? What I mean is when you see somebody in worship, their full body is engaged with the presence of the living God. Have you had such an encounter where all of your senses were engaged with the living God? Well, that's what the scripture says. Isaiah said he saw a vision of heavenly beings, these seraphim, these majestic beings. Can you see it in the mind's eye? Six wings, he said, they have. With two, they cover their eyes. With two, they cover their feet. And with the other two, they did fly. He saw these fiery creatures. Can you imagine them flying around the throne room of the Lord? Their fiery appearance caught Isaiah's attention. And not only did he see these fiery seraphim, but Isaiah said he also saw the train of the Lord's robe. Surely he could not see the fullness of God, because no man can see God and live. But the Lord, in this experience, have you ever had an encounter with the Lord where he allowed you to see just a glimpse of who he was? He saw his robe fill that place. Can you imagine not only seeing these fiery beings and not only seeing the train of the Lord's robe, but he also, there was smoke. First, Isaiah could make out everything clearly. There was the Lord seated on his throne. There was the ark. There was the word of God in this temple. There were these fiery seraphim circling about the Lord. And he could see clearly at first. But then it says the smoke started to fill this place. That's what we just read. And so he could see even more dimly as the moments went on. You know when smoke fills a place and your eyes start to burn? All of his senses, his full body was engaged in this worship. And not only did he see the seraphim, not only did he see the robe, the train fill the temple, not only did the smoke certainly distort what he could see, but then he could also perhaps smell. This was the temple of the living God. And the priests would have been there morning and evening to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. And so the incense would have filled that place, the sweet-smelling aroma of the sacrifice. Do you have an offering that smells good in the nostrils of the Lord? When you worship him, does he appreciate the smell of your offering, of your sacrifice? Well, the incense on that day would have tickled Isaiah's nostrils. What an experience in the presence. Maybe this is foreign to you because you've never allowed your full being, your whole body, to sit in the presence of the living God. Not only did he see and smell in that holy temple, but he also would have been able to taste just the little airborne particles that happen when smoke fills a place. You've been over the grill, and you know when the smoke starts to fill that place, a little bit goes down your throat. Maybe causes you to cough and clear your throat. His whole body was engaged in this worship. Not only did he see, not only did he smell, not only did he taste the scent of the smoke and the incense, but oh, the sound, Isaiah said. He said he heard the voice of these angelic beings, and they cried out over and over and over again in the presence of the living God. I don't know, maybe you have nothing to cry out about, but he said that they said over and over and over again when they spoke, their voices shook the foundations of that temple. When you come into worship, the voices that come out of your belly ought to shake some things. There ought to be a praise that comes out of the mouth of God's people that ought to be able to shake the foundations of your house. Have you ever worshiped the Lord and sat in his presence in such a way that the voice that came out of you might have been English, it might have been human, it might have been a voice of a human tongue, it might have been the spirit of the living God, but when you lifted up praise to him, all that was solid began to shake and God started to do a new work. Well, that's what the prophet Isaiah saw on that day. They cried out to the Lord who was there as they circled him, flying about, fiery smoke filling the place. Holy, holy, holy. When they cried out, Redeemer, they didn't lift up voice of criticism. When they cried out, they didn't speak about what they ought to be doing or what she ought to be doing or what they ain't doing right. when they opened up their mouth. What comes out of your mouth when you're in the presence of the Holy One? When they opened up their mouth, they cried only holy, because there were no other words to describe what they witnessed on that day. And you know we cry holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song will rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. There's one more. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee. Well, I hope you do. Casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which were and art and evermore shall be. Do you have a song of praise, church? Do you have a song of praise? In the midst of our separation from the Lord, the brokenness of this world, Isaiah came into this holy place and all he had was the witness of these people. If you've got nothing else, you better get a song. If you are going to survive this world, then you better get a song. If you're going to make it in this life, then you better get a song. And if you don't have words, I give you one word and say it until you can't say it anymore. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Church, when you have an encounter with the presence of the living God, a full body experience, when your eyes and your smells and all your senses are employed, when you surrender yourself to the presence of the living God, he will reveal to you that he is holy, holy, holy. And in the presence of the Lord, the prophet Isaiah was there when he had the opportunity to see God in his holiness. He also had the opportunity to see just how unclean he was. It's only when we're honest in the presence of the Holy One that we actually see how unclean we are. When we see the glory of God's holiness, and if we're honest, we see just how unholy we are. Do you see yourself? This is the safe place. This is where we get to come and witness the holiness of God and where God can reveal to us the places that he needs to clean up. Isaiah said, I am unclean, and I live in a world full of unclean people. This nation is unclean, oh God, and those who sit on the left and on the right of me, no matter what their titles are, they are unclean, oh God. We are just an unclean people, and the higher I see you, oh God, the more I see our need and how unclean we are. Isaiah said, woe to me, because I'm standing in the presence of this Holy One, and surely I should be dead. If you're honest today, you know that you don't deserve to be able to worship this holy God. Not with those unclean lips, believer. Not with where those hands have been, Christian. Not with the mind and the thoughts that have come in and out of your mind. To be able to see this God now, high and lifted up, not with where those feet have been now, you stand on holy ground. We don't deserve the opportunity to be anything for the Lord, to say anything on his behalf, to do anything with these hands. And yet he calls us into this temple, hallelujah. Into the holy place to see just how holy we are. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Because he doesn't call us into his presence, his holy presence, just to show us how unclean he is. But the prophet lets us know that God's got a purpose for calling you into his presence. He witnessed just how holy God was, and he saw how unclean he was, and he had an opportunity to humble himself. Say, humble yourself. When you come into the presence of the holy God and see how unclean you are, humble yourself, believer. And I promise, the scripture says that when he humbled himself, he said, woe to me, I'm unclean. It was in that moment that God purified him. Isaiah confessed that he and those around him were unclean, and in that moment, these fiery beings wasted no time. They picked up a hot coal off the holy altar of the Lord, and it says that they touched his unclean, his filthy cussing lips, his backbiting tongue, touched his mouth. And the message says this way: look, the coal has touched your lips. Has the coal ever touched your lips? Have you ever allowed the fiery beings, the Holy Spirit, to come and touch your lips so that you too would be purified? The coal touched their lips, and the message says, gone your guilt. Gone your guilt. In a moment, in an instant, gone your guilt. Your sins wiped out. He can do it just like that if you'll let him. Don't be afraid of the fiery coal. Let him touch your lips, church. Let him touch your heart, church. Let him clean you up. Let him purify you in that sacred place, in that set apart place where you can encounter a message from the Lord. It was right there in that place where Isaiah's posture was right. He didn't come boasting. He didn't come into the presence of the Holy One explaining how important he was. But he bowed before this holy God, and he was aware of his brokenness, and he was a witness to the holiness of God, and he emptied out himself. He revealed and opened up himself, the vulnerability that the sin that was a part of his life could be touched by the Lord. He already knows about it. Just go ahead and tell him. And it touched his lips, and scripture says he was forgiven. The holiness of God, the uncleanness of his creation, the opportunity in humility to be purified, and now God could use him again. And now, after the humility, after the availability, after the sacrifice and the surrender, after the honesty of who he was and who he could only be in God, now the Lord could send him. And the good news is that this all didn't happen in some far-off outer space place. This encounter with the Lord happened in the temple, right in the midst of the community, in the middle of the foolishness all around him. God didn't have to take him somewhere else to have this experience, but God prepared him, called him, cleaned him up right there in the midst of it all. Our God is faithful. He'll take our sacrifice. He'll take our surrender. Come into his holy place, and he'll clean you up right in the middle of the confusion and send you on your way. We're not clear if this passage of scripture happened at Isaiah's first call, the first time the Lord called him into service. It may have been the first time. This may have happened, scholars say, after Isaiah had already been serving the Lord for some time. Maybe this particular touch, this call, was for a new season in Isaiah's life. But no matter whether the Lord wants to do this for you for the first time or the Lord is calling you for the 50th time, the process is still the same. He wants you to come into his presence and have an experience with him. See how holy he is, how unclean you are. Let him clean you up in humility so that he can send you to do something new. Now a witness to God's glory and of God's holiness. Now humbled in his presence, now purified. Isaiah says that he overheard a sacred conversation. If you read the scripture, it doesn't say that the Lord spoke to Isaiah with this question. It said that the Lord spoke to his heavenly host. He overheard the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? He didn't say, Isaiah, oh, Isaiah, I beg of you, would you please be a servant on my behalf? Oh, Isaiah, please go. Isaiah didn't even have the details of the message. He overheard the voice of the Lord speaking to the heavenly host saying, who will I send, and who will go for us? And it was because Isaiah recognized his great wretchedness. And it was because Isaiah knew just where he had come from and where the Lord brought him. And it was because Isaiah knew that the Lord had reached down and lifted him up out of the muck and the mire. Because Isaiah recognized that the Lord had been with him from the beginning to end, that the Lord was preparing him to be used. It was because that Isaiah overheard this conversation and he recognized how low he was. He overheard them saying, who will I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah got a case of, I just can't help myself. He was aware of the great mercy that the Lord had on his life. Does somebody need to come and get you? Do you need a special invitation with your name engraved on it to go and serve the Lord once he's touched your lips? Once he's healed your body? Once he's saved your life? Once he's rescued you and your family? Does somebody have to come and get you and drag you into the presence to serve God's people? What will cause you to go? Maybe when you look back over your life and you think things over, and you remember that it would have, if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you don't know where you would be. Maybe you would overhear a meeting of God's people saying, well, we don't know how we're going to work this out. Who will go and who can we send? And you'll overhear this conversation and say, wait. Here am I. I'm aware of what the Lord has done for me. I know who he is in my life. Please let me go. Please let me serve. Please, oh God. Please, oh God, clean me up. Please use me, Jesus. I know I'm not worthy, but please, oh God, use me. Please, oh God, use this church. We know who we are, and we know who you've been to us. Oh God, we are blessed and highly favored. So please, oh God, use us. We don't know the details of the call, oh God. We don't know where you need us to go, oh God. We don't know how long it's going to take, oh God. We don't know what you're going to do, oh God. We don't know who you're going to send, oh God. We don't know what they're going to look like, oh God. We don't know what they're going to need, oh God. We don't know where it's going to come from, Lord. We don't know how to make it work, oh God. We don't know. We are unclean lips, and we've never done this before, oh God. But please, oh God. Please, oh God, while on others thou art calling, do not pass us by, but we're not asking for a blessing, oh God. We're just asking, please use us, oh God. Please use us, oh God. Please use us, oh God. We want to be used, oh God. We want you to use our hands, oh God. They were filthy, oh God, but you clean them up. We need you to use our voices, oh God. They're weak, oh God, but we're together, Lord God, singing holy, 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 oh God. We recognize, oh God, that you are with us, and so please, oh God. So, church, are you ready for the question? Whom shall the Lord send and who will go for him? Isaiah didn't have the details of the assignment. Perhaps if he'd known, he wouldn't have gone. But now that you believe, or now that you've been touched by the fire, will you go? Now that you've been filled and witnessed the supernatural, oh God, will you go, believer? Isaiah, he went. There is a woman named Diana, princess of the Amazons. Wonder Woman. All her life she had been prepared to fight. Not knowing when she would need to, or how she would need to, or who she would need to fight. And so as she lived out her life, she found herself in a foreign place. And she heard that there were people who were trapped in a community of men and women and children who had been abandoned, left on the front lines. Maybe you've seen the movie. If you haven't, go watch the movie. But they had been forgotten and abandoned. Nobody would come for them. And she couldn't understand why these people were left stranded. And so she decided that I don't know what I have on the inside. I don't know what I'll do when I get there. But in her fierce boots and, you know, with her cape blowing in the wind, she walked across the field willing to take the slings and arrows of the one who was against them because she knew that there was a need. These people needed to be rescued. And if not her, then who? And if not now, then when? And so they said, well, who were the men who will go, Diana? And she said, I am the man who will go. Who are the men who can? And so she said, I am the men who can. Whom shall the Lord send, and who will go for them? Isaiah went, and Wonder Woman, she went. And God is sending you. And God is sending us. Will you go for him? Having been witness to the destruction of this world, having been witness to the brokenness of our nation, having access to the holy place, the holy temple of the living God, where the holy, holy, holy one dwells, having been aware of his holiness and having seen how unclean you are, having been touched by the Holy Spirit, having your lips purged and your life changed, now, who will go for him? Well, if Isaiah doesn't give you the model, and if you're not convinced by Diana, princess of the Amazons, then maybe you'll be encouraged by the witness of another one who did go. There was another time in the throne room of God when God sat on his throne and he looked around heaven, fully aware of the destruction of this earth and those he created to worship him who were not worshiping him, those of us who did not know and were far apart from God. So God looked around and God said, who will go? Who will we send to save these people? But our sin was so horrible and we were so apart from God that there was not, Diana could not go, and Isaiah would not meet the need. And so God looked around heaven and said, who will go for us? And there was none that was holy enough to go for God. And so God decided that God would wrap himself in flesh and he would be the only one who could go. And so he said, well, I will go and I will wrap myself and go 40 and two generations and I will send myself in the form of a baby and I will be born and I will come into the earth and I will walk and I will heal. And I will speak words of life and bring them back to myself because I'm the only one that could go. So who will go? I will go, and I will go even, church, to the point of death. And I will sacrifice my, will you go even to the point of death? Can God wrap you in his love and send you into a world who knows you not and is out to kill you? Will you go into the midst of a people who would want to crucify you? And would you hang on the cross and allow them to pierce you in your side? And would you allow the blood and water to run? And would you stay there and not say a word, church, and keep your mouth closed and not condemn them who persecute you? And would you stay there and let them take you down? And then he laid in a grave. But we know that the end of the story is that the one who said, I will go, he did get up early on the third day with all power in his hands because there was no one else who could come on our behalf and save us from this wretched place there. He is the only one who could come and rescue. But that doesn't let us off the hook, church, because there is a work for you to do. I know your name is not Isaiah, and I know that you are not Diana, princess of the Amazons, and we all know full well that you're not God wrapped in flesh as Jesus. But there is an assignment for you, believer. There is a work for you to do, church. And so here is the question again. Who can we send, and who will go? Will you go? To God be the glory. Would you rest on your feet? Hallelujah. Let us pray. What a mighty call, God. You have created us, Lord God, to be used by you. We thank you for this word, Lord God, that reminds us that you are ever in the cleaning up business. We pray that we would hide this word in our hearts and be encouraged to know that no matter what's going on around us, Lord God, we will tell the story of how you cleaned us up. We have a story to tell about how you saw us in our unclean condition and you touched our lips. Help us to make a note and to record for those to come and to be a testimony, Lord God, of your faithfulness to us. And you've asked us to go. Give us the courage and the strength. We know that you'll provide us with everything we need when we do. We thank you for obedience and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 As we remain standing, saints are praying for this most holy time of our service. This is the moment where we extend invitation. If you are here today and you've not yet had a supernatural encounter with the Almighty God, right now is the time. If you need to know this Jesus that we talk about, the one who died for you, the one who came and sacrificed his life for you, if you've not yet met him and made him your Lord, would you come even right now? Would you come? Would you come? Is there one today? You need not walk this life alone, but our Jesus has already prepared a way for you. Would you come? Is there one today? We're clapping to encourage you. We've all had to come this way. None of us have saved ourselves, but it's only by the blood of the Lamb that we have been rescued and delivered and our sins atoned for, just like the prophet Isaiah. Is there one today? We invite you. Perhaps you know this Jesus, the one that loves us and died for us, but you're out of fellowship. You need the blessing of a fellowship of a family of believers to walk alongside you. We'll pray with you. We'll walk with you. We'll encourage one another on this journey. Is there one today? Would you come?